Do you know how it feels to know something's missing, to hear a still small voice you just keep dismissing? Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on the cross someone died?
Do you know how it feels when he knocks to surrender, have your sins washed away, never to be remembered? And now that it's real, tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King, your heavenly Father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? And how does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels?
Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and tears started flowing the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged?
Do you know how it feels wherever you roam, you still have the feeling that you're not at home, knowing heaven is real? Tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King, your heavenly Father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels? How does it feel to know you're a child of the King, your heavenly Father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels
and to know that it's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels?
Bible in Mark chapter number 16. I'm going to, I'm probably just going to talk to you a little bit tonight. I may preach a little bit, but I've got some thoughts on my heart that I'd like to share with you. Mark chapter number 15, we're getting ready to go into what I consider the most important meeting at Fellowship Baptist Church. Each year in the month of March, we have a missions conference, a missions revival, and we have a keynote speaker. This year's keynote speaker will be Austin Gardner, pastor of Vision Baptist Church in Georgia. He's also the director of the mission board there. And there's going to be some missionary families that will be joining us from the Vision Baptist Mission. And they're going to be here and they're going to be presenting their burden that God has placed upon their heart. And throughout my years as a pastor and throughout my time as a Christian, I've had questions that have been asked to me as a pastor, but even before I became a pastor, when I was a Christian and just got saved, I had questions. What is a missions conference? There was even a time I wondered, what is a missionary? Why do churches have missions conference? And then I heard this term, faith, promise, grace giving. And I wondered, what is that? And you hear all of these terms, and the missionaries will come in and they will use terms like indigenous, autonomous. And so I thought what I would do tonight is just ask some questions that I have asked myself or that I have been asked, and let's just look and see what the Bible says about it. I'm going to give you a Bible answer to some things, to Why we have missions conference, and what is missions conference for, and what is mission? So let's start with that. You know, we read in Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15, where the scripture says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, as you look up this way, I want to tell you that there's just a couple of simple thoughts that immediately come to my mind when I read that verse of scripture. Number one, go ye into all the world. You can never preach the gospel in the wrong place. Never. According to what Jesus just said here, according to this commandment, anywhere that I preach the gospel, anywhere that our assistant pastors, Pastor Lamb, anywhere that a man of God will stand and preach the gospel, anywhere that the gospel is preached is the right place. You can't preach the gospel in the wrong place. But then notice what else he said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can't preach the gospel to the wrong person. Amen. You can't give the gospel to the wrong person. And so with that in mind, I want to make one more statement, because this is important, and sometimes we fail to realize this. Every creature needs a preacher. So I don't like that. Well, sure you do. Think about it. Every creature needs a preacher. There is just something about our human constitution. The way that we have been framed, God made us that we need a man of God in our lives. I'm so thankful that God has put throughout the course of my life men of God. Men of God. Every creature needs a man of God. If you're lost, you need a man of God. How shall they hear except they be sent? Right? A preacher. A preacher. Romans chapter number 10 talks about a preacher. A preacher. We need a preacher. We need somebody that'll preach the word of God unto us. And when we hear the preaching, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. But not only does every sinner need a preacher, every saint needs a preacher to build us up for the perfecting of the saints, to open up the word of God and to preach to us what thus saith the Lord. Paul told young Timothy, "Timothy, preach the word." Every child of God needs to sit under the preaching of the word of God. It builds us up. It edifies us. It encourages us. It challenges us. It charges us. It convicts us. The preaching of the word of God is what we stand in need of in the hour in which we live. And so no matter where you go, you can't preach in the wrong place. You can't preach to the wrong people. And every creature needs a preacher. The Bible says here in verse number 16, or verse number 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." What is this matter of missions? You hear that in churches. You walk in a church like ours, other Bible-believing churches, and you may see banners or flags. You may see plaques. You may see missionary letters. You may see prayer cards. What is missions? Well, I want to give you a few terms that I wrote down here that most people, when they think of missions, they think of this. And I don't want you to get missions confused with what I'm getting ready to tell you. There is a vast difference between humanitarian services and missions. Now listen to me. Missions. What is missions? Well, when some people hear that, they think about feeding the hungry. Now, I'm not opposed to feeding the hungry. Actually, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good deed. And I think that we could probably do a better job, and all of us probably need to be considerate of feeding the hungry. But I want to tell you, that's not missions. That's not missions. That may be a part of missions, a very small part, but it's certainly not the primary purpose of missions. Nor is clothing the naked. That is not missions. Clothing the naked is not missions. Sheltering the homeless. All of these are good humanitarian services. And as a result of biblical missions, I believe all of these needs will be met. I do. Because I believe when people get saved by the grace of God, and God begins to be operative in their life and lead them and guide them and give them wisdom for life, that they will begin to be blessed of God, and God will begin to meet the needs. And they will be like David, who said, you know, I'm old. I've been young. And now I'm old, and I've never seen God's seed, God's people forsaken, or his seed begging bread. God meets the needs of his people, whether it's hunger or clothes or shelter. But you know, people can do without things, and if they've got God, they've really got all that they need. What is missions? Missions is someone telling someone else about Jesus. I'm just going to simplify it. That's missions. I think about in Acts chapter 8, when the Spirit of God went to Philip, and he said, I want you to go, and I want you to go join yourself to that chariot. And that chariot was a band, a caravan, and that Ethiopian eunuch was there. And Philip joined himself to that chariot. And the Bible says the place of where that Ethiopian read at the moment was Isaiah 53. And Philip opened the scriptures unto him and preached to him from them very scriptures. He preached unto him Jesus. And that man got saved that day. That is missions. Some man telling some other man about Jesus Christ and what he has done for the penalty of our sin. That's missions. Missions, if you want to get more specific, it's when God reaches into a congregation like Fellowship Baptist Church and touches a man's heart and says, I want you to leave family. Listen to me. I want you to leave your home church. I want you to leave the comforts of this world, and I want you to go, and he'll tell you where to go, and you and your family will go where God told you to go, and you will tell those people about Jesus Christ. You say, well, God hasn't done that to me yet. Oh, yes, he has. Who is a missionary? What is missions? Missions is when people tell others about Jesus. Who is a missionary? You. Every saved person is a missionary, and every lost person is a mission field. I'm making it simple for you. See, sometimes we try to complicate, and we think, well, you know, only a man with a certain title is a missionary, only a preacher. Listen, God's called all of us to win souls. God's called all of us to tell people about Jesus. Every one of us should be telling people about Jesus Christ. Every one of us. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Paul wrote. And so when I think of missions, what is missions? Well, generally speaking, it's God's people. It's God's people, the saved, telling the lost about how to be saved. It's reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But specifically speaking, God will reach down in a congregation of people. See, you can go across the street and tell someone about Jesus. But you know, God may want you to go across the state. God may want you to leave your Jerusalem. As Pastor Lamb mentioned earlier, he may want you to go to Judea. He may want you to go to Samaria. And God may want you to even go not just across the street or across the state. God may send you across the sea. He may send you to the uttermost part of the world to preach the gospel in Jesus' name. What greater honor could be bestowed upon a man than the honor of being commissioned by the God of heaven to go in his stead and preach the gospel of his Son? I could think of no greater honor than that. That's missions. Missions is the heartbeat of God. It's the purpose of the church, brethren. It's the purpose of the church to get lost people saved. This is what he said now. Listen, look at it. Chapter 15, go ye into all the world. That's worldwide evangelism. We mention it often here at Fellowship Baptist Church. We want to go into all the world, every nation now. I'm glad that when John got the vision into heaven, he saw that there were those who were redeemed out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Aren't you? God loves the world. I'm gonna say something here in a moment that may shock some of you, but it's so. God loves the world. So every Christian is a missionary. And we need to understand that. But there are times, and there's going to be families coming, and they're going to be joining us the first week of March, as they have every year for the last several years. And these are folks that God has placed His hand on, and He's called them to a specific area to go and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, some maybe that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. To them, Jesus is just another of many gods that they have heard about, or that they have maybe heard of or read of, but they do not know that Jesus is the only begotten, virgin-born Son of God, the really one true and living God. They do not know this, and they need to know from the preaching of the Word of God that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and that God loves them so much that He gave His only begotten Son for their life, for their sin. And if they would trust Him, they could be saved. You say, well, that's them. But did you know that God will want us to partner with them? See, our involvement, God may not want me to go to Tibet. God hasn't called me to go to Trinidad. God hasn't called me to go to South Africa. And obviously, God hasn't called you to go there. But we can go with others as we partner with them. As we partner with them in praying for them. Just because God hasn't called me to an area doesn't mean that I shouldn't be praying for that area. See, that too is a part of missions. Missions doesn't begin and end with God calling an individual or a family to go there. We are to partner with them and pray for them. We are to give to that endeavor. We are to communicate with them. We've heard so many say how discouraging it gets for wives and for children on the mission field when they have little to no communication. There are some folks that were reared in an area where it was Americans and mostly white population, and they go to an area where they do not know the language at that time. They don't see a white face for months and years. And it's very traumatic to them. You say, well, God will be their helper. I understand that. But did you know that sometimes God wants to help them by using you and me? By just sending an email or writing a handwritten letter and saying, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm thinking of you today. That would mean the world to some missionary family. That's part of missions. That's part of missions. So while God has not called many of us to these areas, it doesn't mean we can't go as others go through our praying and our giving and our communicating. So keep that in mind. We're all a big part of missions. So often people, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a missionary. Well, I understand that. And I've already told you, maybe not in a direct way you're not, but in a general way we all are. God's called us all to. Listen, the word missionary comes from the same root word of the word apostle, sent one. Amen. And we've all been sent. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And we've all been sent. We've right here. You know how you get sent? By going. Go. Amen. Go ye. Go ye. That's God sending us. God sending us. All right. Number two, here's a question I wrote down. And I've already answered this one pretty much. Where's the mission field? Well, in Matthew chapter number 13, of the parable of the seed and the sower, Jesus said, the world is the field. Your field could be McDonald's. It could be Wendy's. It could be your neighborhood. Some people's field is China, a specific area in China, a specific area in Mexico, in Greece. A specific area. But the mission field is where there's lost people. It could be of American descent. It could be of an African descent. It could. It doesn't. Whatever. Listen. There's the world is the mission field. The world. Another question that I thought of when I was thinking about this is, where did missions begin? I really had to think on this one a while. And this is what I was saying earlier. Think about that with me. Where did missions begin? Did you know that missions did not begin in America? Some people, they think, well, you know, America began missions. Oh, no, no, no. America is a result of missions. Amen. You understand that, right? Aren't you glad that God told them at the church of Antioch to separate unto me Saul and Barnabas? And he sent them out on missionary journeys. And brethren, as a direct result, the gospel found its way to Europe. And eventually the gospel found its way to these United States of America. We didn't begin missions. Now, I will say that God has used America in a great way to help the continuation of missions. And God has opened a door through America that no man has been able to shut. And I'm grateful for that. I'm very thankful for the mission endeavor that takes place in the United States of America. But missions did not begin. I believe technically that missions began with the Great Commission. Right here, when Jesus in Mark 16:15, he said, go ye into all the world. You see, when you read back, when Jesus, and I'm talking about worldwide missions, there was a time right here in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke where Jesus would send his disciples out and he said, I don't want you to go but just to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But here he doesn't tell the disciples that. He says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Where did it begin? Well, someone said it began when God went to Abraham and called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and sent him to a place, and he made him the father of many nations, and he made him his son as he believed on God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Others say, well, it began in the Garden of Eden when God went to Adam. Right? God left his home. Isn't that what missionaries do? And he went to Adam's home. That was the garden. Isn't that what missionaries do? They leave their home and go to the sinner's home? Yeah. Some people say that. God said, some people say it begins with Christ, where God sent his son into the old sin-cursed world. Wherever missions began, it began in the heart of God, not in the heart of man. Missions is not man's idea. It's God's idea. And so I want you to keep that thought in your mind as we move to the next phase of some of the questions that I want to ask and try to answer tonight so that we can have a clearer understanding of missions. Missions is important. It's something that God originated, that God put forth, not man. Man didn't discover missions. This missions is of God. So, here's another question. Where did missions begin? As I said, there's some who would say, well, you know, it was with Adam or Abraham. Well, I believe really worldwide missions begins right here in our text of Scripture. Why does missions continue? After all of these years, whenever and wherever you think missions began, why do missions continue to this day? You know why, don't you? Because there are yet still multitudes of untold millions of people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Brethren, God didn't save us to live self-centered lives of comfort and ease while others die in their sin and go to hell. God didn't save us so that others would die in their sin and go to hell without us having a care for their soul. God saved us to tell others. We ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ. And we ought to be praying for others who are on different fields and giving so that others can go. to tell others who have never heard. Everyone can have a part in missions. And that's the wonderful thing about God's programs. God will include everyone. Amen? God is all-inclusive. He wants you to be a big part of missions. He wants me to be a big part of missions. He wants Fellowship Baptist Church. God wants all of His people to be a big part of missions. And so the question, why does missions continue? Because God loves the world so much, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all men saved. Isn't that what 1 Timothy 2:4 says? It's God's will that all men be saved. Now, will all men be saved? We know they will not be. But it's God's will that they would be. Christ died for the sin of the whole world. We do not believe that there is a select number that God has chosen and that the blood of Jesus is limited in its atonement. No, we believe that whosoever will can come. And he that cometh to me, Christ said, I will in no wise cast out. That's why missions continue, because there are those yet in their sin. Brethren, I don't know the statistics, and really, I don't know that it would help if I did. If there were only one man that had never heard the gospel, that had never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, we should work and do everything within our human power to see that we could get the gospel to that individual. God has done His part. But you know, we all know there's more than one. There are untold multitudes of people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we waste money? How can we squander goods that God has given us? How can we go days and weeks and months without prayer or concern for the lost? God, challenge our hearts. God, awaken us to the fact that this is real. Hell is real, brethren. People that die in their sin are going to die in their sin and go to hell. And if they do it because of our laziness or our unwillingness, because we're not bold enough to share the gospel, or we're not have enough faith to give that others may go, God have mercy on us. Let's get another question here. What is the Great Commission? We hear that word a lot around mission conference time and when we talk about soul winning. Well, I've just read to you one phase of the Great Commission. Matthew, Luke share the Great Commission. It's when a person is commissioned to go in the stead of someone else. They're commissioned. People in law enforcement, people in the service, they're commissioned by their master to go in their behalf and share their message. Share. And that's the Great Commission. It's not, listen, the Great Commission is not a choice. It's a commandment. Notice again, if you would, in verse number 15 of chapter 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's imperative. That's not a choice. Like, if you want to, if you feel like it, if you're bold enough. No, he said, you go. And you tell people, we've been commissioned. Now, there are certain ones that have been deputized. And they're on deputation. And they're preparing to go. They're being sent out from an organization. The Church of the Living God is sending them out. God reached down like He did in the Church of Antioch. And He will call people, and that church will deputize them, and they will go on deputation, and they will represent the church that sends them as they go and they plant churches of like faith there in the area that God has called them to. And that's why we, listen, that is a big part of our mission endeavor. We want to see Bible-believing, independent Baptist churches planted in that area. A local church that will become what we know as indigenous, self-sustaining, self-governing, self-supporting. And then that pastor will train that national and he will move on. And with our support, we will not support the church that he has started. That church will become indigenous, autonomous. It will become self-supporting. You understand? That's what we mean by that. that missionary is who we're supporting, and he will go somewhere else and start yet another work. Another work. The same way, to become self-sustaining, self-supporting, self-governing, independent, Bible-believing, indigenous, autonomous. That's what this is about. Churches being planted. Preachers taking those churches and under God's leadership, taking that church in the direction of the Scriptures, training those people to yield and lead their lives for Jesus Christ. Conference. Oftentimes at churches you hear folks say, we're going to call the church into conference. It's when you do business. A missions conference is missions business. A missions revival is when you stir up and you spark something. Why do we have missions conferences? Because we want to at all times have our minds on the lost, but at this particular time of year in March, we're going to focus our attention solely and wholly on what it is to get more families to the areas that God has called them to. And they're going to open up a safety deposit box here. You understand that, don't you? They're not going to send us U.S. dollars, brethren. They're going to send us fruit that's going to abound to our account. As we partner with them, they're going to win souls. They're going to win lost sinners to Jesus Christ. And as we partner with them, they're going to send back to the safety deposit box of Fellowship Baptist Church, they're going to send fruit that's going to abound to our account. You understand that? Everyone that we partner with, we are getting fruit sent back to our account. Now, that's not the sole reason we partner with them, but I want you to know something. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God is concerned, I mean greatly concerned, about how we approach this matter of missions. And he's concerned that we get involved in helping people that he's called to get to where they've gone, and we partner with them. We partner with them. And so when they come and they share their burden, you listen intently. And you pray fervently, and you communicate often with them. And as God lays upon your heart, you give what God has laid upon your heart to help propel them to the field that God has called them to. And as they begin to win souls and establish and plant that local New Testament church, fruit will begin come right back here to the safety deposit box that they opened up at Fellowship Baptist Church. We already have several that opened up one here. Several. People say, why is Fellowship Baptist Church being blessed? I mean, the unity and the growth and the spirit of the church. I think that we could probably name a few reasons, but I think none of them would be any greater than our endeavor to follow God's leading in this matter of missions, reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a question that I get asked, and I've only got two more. What is faith promise giving? Well, there's a lot of answers that you get when you ask that question. I want to talk to you a little bit about that, and I'll probably spend more time here than I will anywhere else tonight, not because it's dealing with giving. I've actually been accused of not preaching on giving enough. Imagine that as a preacher. I just believe if you're saved, you want to give. I just do. Can I tell you, when God got my heart, he got my pocketbook, my wallet. God got it. He did. Now, some of you are laughing because you never heard a man call his wallet his pocketbook, but I'm from old school, amen? You know where you're treasury is, there will your heart be also. It just will. I've never sit down, and this is not about me. I'm talking about it's what I really believe should be just normal for a Christian. I've never sit down and tried to make sure I didn't give God a penny more than what's coming to him. You know, we just give. We give because God gives. Give and it shall be given unto you. It's just a thing to do. But what about this matter of faith promise giving? Can I tell you something? Sometimes the word promise can be a little deceiving, and I want you to listen carefully. Because I want you to understand, as you give the faith promise this year, I want you to understand what it is, and I also want you to understand what it is not. I think sometimes people think that it's about the promise. I promised. See, my faith promise is not about my promise, because my promise is me. It's about my faith, because my faith is outside of me. See, faith is about God. Now, God gives me faith. It's the gift of faith. And so when I'm looking at my finances, and many people this year will get their prayer, their faith promise card, and they'll look at it, and then they'll sit down, and they'll try to figure out their finances. Hey, listen to me. You're doing it all wrong. If we really believe that we can finance God's program, we don't understand God's program. Souls is God's program. Listen to me now. Who told these men to go? Jesus. If you were to turn to Matthew chapter 28, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. All of it. God owns it all. So when I get ready to give the faith promise, I'm not going to sit down and try to work out my budget and see how much I can afford to give to missions. If you want to be a part of faith promise, put the emphasis on faith and not the promise. Faith. It's faith promise. See, faith is getting outside of us. Faith is not sitting down and figuring out. That's not faith. That's promise. I promise I'll give you X amount because I've worked it out and this is what I can afford to give. That's not faith promise. Now, if you want to put a percentage on a tithe, 10%, okay, that's a tithe. But we're talking about, what is faith promise? Faith promise is understanding that God will speak to you and you and you and you and every individual that wants to be a part of faith promise, and God will lay upon your heart, my heart, what he desires for me to give to his program. Go back to when you were a little kid, and some of you won't be able to do this. You'll have to ask your parents about it. When I was a little kid, and I go stay with my grandmother up in the country, she would say, you know, she'd call me and my brother and my sister, come on, I'm going to send you down to the corner store. And she wanted us to get something for her. Usually it was flour or sugar on the farm, so she had about everything else. Sometimes they bartered back then. She would send us down with a little side of meat, and he would send us back with a little bit of flour and sugar. But then sometimes she would put just a few coins in her hand. Now listen to me. A few coins. We would ask Grandma, bake us one of them delicious chocolate cakes. And she would say, okay, I'm going to get you to go down to the corner store. So she would send us down there to get some flour or sugar, but she would put money. Now, my grandmother never told me, now, Dale, you want a chocolate cake. I'm going to bake the chocolate cake, but you take your money and go get the flour and sugar. Grandma never did that. Grandma put that money in my hand. Now, it's the same way with faith promise. This is God. Listen, God is saying, Dale, I want you to get involved in my program. I'm going to save the sinners. I want you to get involved. I'm going to provide the resources, but I want to give it through you. Can I tell you, if we would allow God, don't you miss this now, God will give far more through us than he will give to us. We are so fixed on what God's going to give to us that we lose sight how much God wants to give through us. God doesn't want me to be a reservoir. God wants me to be a channel. God wants to give through me to his work. And God is just asking, by faith, how much do you believe I'll give through you? That's faith promise giving. Okay? Now that's not your tithe. That may not even be a part of what you give as an offering. But if you want to give faith promise giving, you ask God, And Brother David, every year, hands the cards out and he'll say, now pray. And you ask God what he wants you to give. Don't go home and try to figure out how much you can afford. We could get George Soros, even though he would have nothing to do with the Bible-believing church. He's a liberal and he's a crook. Wait a minute, is this on tape? No. I'm glad it is, and I hope George listens, though I doubt he will. We could get every billionaire in the world to give to missions. Man does not have the resources that God has. We fall way short. God wants us to give out of the riches of His glory. When we study the Scripture, we find that that's what the resources that God wants us to tap into. Have you tapped into? Will we at Fellowship Baptist Church tap into the riches of His glory? When you read that verse over in Philippians, turn there if you would, chapter 4. But my God, Paul was talking about that church there in Philippi that had given once and again to the need that he had. Philippians chapter 4. And he talked about when he was in his missionary journey, how that they had communicated. Very interesting word there in Philippians chapter 4. He said, no man communicated with me. Look in verse number 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, not out of his riches. According to, he has an ever-flowing supply. Never runs dry. Amen? Never runs dry. He's going to give out of it. Out of the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God owns it all, brethren. So when we speak about what is faith promise, what does God want to give through you? Now don't listen. I'm not saying be foolish now. Don't be foolish. But do exercise faith. See, if we're ever going to do anything for God, it's going to have to be by faith. It's going to have to get out of ourselves. If we ever do anything for God, it's going to have to be in faith. If we do it ourselves, brethren, listen, that's in the energy of the flesh. And I've done a lot that way. Amen. Yeah. But if I'm going to please God, it's going to take faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And that goes along with this giving too. So you get along with God and say, God, what do you want to give through me? And then when God gives it through you, don't take it as if God gave it to you. Right? Some people pray and say, God, I want you to give it through me. And God gives it to them so He can give it through them. And they keep it and say, God gave it to me. No, God didn't give it to you. He gave it to give through you. Don't mess up now. Everybody with me, all right? Everybody understand? So you pray and you ask God, and I'm just 100% sure that God will tell you what He wants you to do in that matter. It's not the preacher's place. You shouldn't ask your banker. You shouldn't ask your neighbor. You shouldn't ask your Sunday school teacher. You get along with God, every man as he purposes in his own heart, you see. Don't go home and try to squeeze it in the budget because then you won't give cheerfully. Listen to me now. You'll give grudgingly. But if you'll pray, God will give it and He'll give it through you and you can give it cheerfully. And it's just wonderful to see how God supplies those things, isn't it? I mean, it's wonderful. It's amazing to see what God gives through us when we allow Him to. When we allow Him to. Okay, final question of the night. And I won't spend any time at all here. Why are we having another missions conference? I think this, Brother David, and you may have to correct me, is this our 10th or 11th year? 10th, I think, is our 10th Faith Promise Missions Conference. And you would say, Preacher, how long does it take? I mean, we've already had 9, you know. Well, by the grace of God, we're going to keep having them because we want everyone to have that opportunity to exercise their faith in giving toward missions. But we also want to we want to be a blessing to our missionaries. They have been deputized by their church. They've been sent out, commissioned by their Lord. And they are visiting with us to share what God's laid on their heart. You be here each night and you meet them and you communicate with them, talk with them, ask them questions, show a genuine interest in what they're doing. That is like refreshment. It's like cool water to a thirsty soul. We can be a great blessing to them even before they get to the field, as they go from church to church raising their support. And we want to be a blessing to God's servants, don't we, church? We want to be a blessing to God's servants because they're doing this for the Lord's sake, for the kingdom. And we want to be a blessing to them. Well, those were just some questions, simple questions, simple answers. And I know that I didn't cover all the questions, and I know we didn't cover all the answers to each of the questions. But I tried to keep it practical and simple. I don't want to make this something to where people scratch their head when they walk in and say, missions, Faith Promise, missions conference, what is this? Missionary. And the more you're around church and the more you attend these meetings and the more you talk to the missionaries and the more you sit under the preaching of God's Word, you see, this is God's program. This is God's program. You don't have to be saved for a number of years to get involved in God's program. If you've been saved for a couple of months, you'll want to come to the missions conference every night, meet these missionaries, and it'll be a great encouragement to you, and you will be a great encouragement to them. All right? All right. Perhaps one night, what we can do between now and our missions conference, if you have a question, and I don't know that I would have the answer. I don't know. If I don't, I'll try to search the scriptures. But maybe at the end of some of our Sunday night services, after I preach the message that God's laid on my heart, we'll take a few questions. I want you to be able to participate informatively. I believe informed people are involved people. And I want to keep you informed, and I want you to know missions is something we want to stay involved in. If you're not involved in it, you'll want to get involved in it. If you are involved in it, maybe God would have you to get even involved more so. All right? Okay, let's all stand. Missions. Very important. Very important. We're going to ask if you're in the side section over here, if you would join.